It's been good, though. It was a blessing. I'm thankful for the guys that filled the pulpit as well. It was a blessing. Brother Parker, Brother Brian, and Brother Aaron all did a good job. I think they could have filled the pulpit down where we were at in Florida. Okay. Anyways, 1 Corinthians 9. The Apostle Paul, in this particular chapter, is really putting an emphasis on why he's an apostle. So, since the Church of Corinth has been established, there have been other preachers that have come through and ministered the Word of God there, like Apollos and Peter the fisherman. So, these people have heard some big-name preachers come through. And I think those men probably stayed for a while, ministered, and they were converts and that. And so, and who knows, even the basic or the natural witness of the church probably attracted people to the Lord, hopefully, even while Paul was away. Now, we've already talked about the fact that there were a lot of problems in the church that had to be dealt with when Paul received a letter from the house of Chloe. He was aware that, man, there's some serious issues that it's going to hinder the work of God there, and it's going to send the wrong message. So Paul writes back here, and he's dealing with that. But he also has to deal with his apostleship, because possibly, this is my opinion, there are new people there who are not as familiar with him. And there may be people who, because of his absence, their familiarity with the others, they've not given him the authority that, or the respect with his word that Paul felt he deserved. Now, Paul was as much an apostle as Peter, James, and John were. Everybody understand that? And the reality is, all you got to do is read the New Testament. God used him to write one-third of the New Testament. And so, God's hand was on him, though he didn't have the privilege of walking with the Lord for 3 years. He caught up quickly. And there's a testimony there, too. You know, you grow in grace as fast as you want to. You really do. You're not bound by years. The only thing that determines our spiritual growth is our willingness to grow. Our willingness to look to the Lord through life's problems. Our willingness to study, to show ourselves approved unto God. And those things, and certainly our obedience to His will. Being faithful to what is obvious. As we do those things, I'm telling you can grow leaps and bounds. That's why a lot of times you'll see new Christians come in and all of a sudden it's like, wow, maybe they're in a position of leadership or something, or they're in this particular position. And listen, I believe in proving people. We have, with deacons and teachers and trustees and all that, there needs to be some time. But nevertheless, man, some people can just grow quick. But it's all up to you. So, here we go. I'm going to read verses 19 through 27, but before I read, I want to summarize the chapter. My objective is to try to cover a whole chapter on Wednesday night, but emphasize one main point of the chapter. And so as we begin chapter 9, I'll just read verse 1 here. It says, Paul says, "Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord?" So he's reminding them of some things that they should already have in hand. Now you got to understand, the reason he says he's an apostle, they didn't have the Bible in hand like you and I do. Okay? And so the only authority they had was apostolic authority. And so when an apostle taught the Word of God, that was like the inspired Word of God. And by the way, we've got it. We've got it here. But Paul, he's reminding them of this. And so here's an outline, if you want an outline. So verses 1 through 6, He talks about the privilege of marriage and how it is afforded to the minister of the gospel. And I know some might think, well, that's obvious. Well, tell some denominations that are not reading their Bible. As a matter of fact, just if you have Catholic friends or family, I'm just curious what they think of this verse. Verse 5, it says, "Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas?" That's Peter, by the way. By the way, if that's not enough, in the Gospels, Jesus went to Peter's mother-in-law's house. It's hard to have a mother-in-law without a wife. Who would want a mother-in-law without a wife? Not me. I love my mother-in-law, but I love my wife. So anyways, so that's emphasized there. And Paul has to mention that because he's not married, but he does want to send a he doesn't want to send a confusing message. Even though he's not married, he wants them to know, I've got liberty to marry. And we kind of talked about that in chapter 7 as well. In verses 7 through 18, Paul deals with the idea of the church taking care of the minister, of himself even. And we'll read a couple of verses here. So he says, "Who goeth to warfare any time at his own charges? Who planteth the vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, Thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Yeah. Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope." Verse 11 is pertinent. "If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we reap your carnal things?" And there's principles here about the way the ministers of the gospel are to be taken care of. Now, I know bivocational preachers, and I thank God for them. I was one. And you do what you got to do to take care of your family. That's just what you do. If the Lord's in it, you're not going to complain. You just do what you got to do. If the Lord allows you to have a ministry where, okay, the ministry can compensate for the extra job, well, that's a blessing too. It probably means there's more folks to minister to. So anyways, Paul mentions this. But Paul mentions that, again, he's an apostle. He says, but I'm not doing that. Now he commends it. He says that's the right thing to do. But I'm not being compensated by you. Right. See? He wants them to realize his authority. Now when we come to verses 19 through 27, the title of the sermon is "For the Gospel's Sake." For the Gospel's Sake. I memorized verse 23 through 27 to help me because it's motivational. But in verses 19 through 27, we see the personal practice in the ministry. And I want to make this personal to everybody here. Do you realize, as a Christian, you are called to the ministry? You're called to the ministry. It's not a matter of volunteering, you're called. Every single one of us is called to the ministry. Now, maybe not the same type of ministry in the sense of preaching or singing or whatever, but we're all called to the ministry of reconciliation, which is being a witness for Christ. Every single child of God has the responsibility to shine for Jesus and to bring people in, if at all possible. At least to make the gospel available through your life and words so that others can get saved. You ought to have some set lines. Some of you don't know what a set line is. I remember going river fishing as a kid with a guy named Tom Gray. I and Brad Nickerson were just 8 or 9 years old. And Tom Gray had about 10 fishing poles he'd put in these steel rods that put them into the ground, and he'd put a little bell on the tip. And he'd give me 4 or 5, and he'd give Brad 4 or 5. He said, "Now those are yours. If the bell rings, you let me know." And he'd go over there and he'd cast. And so what did we do? Well, crying out loud, I got in the cooler, roasted hot dogs, drank pop, and walked the woods. And if you heard a little ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling, you run out there and hoping it's yours. But those were called set lines. That's what we called them. You might have some other idea of a set line. And it was just having the bait available in case the fish gets hungry. We are nearing fishing season. I might as well use some fishing stories. So, since I've talked, let's go ahead and stand. We will read verses 19 through 27. 19 through 27. I feel a little warm. Is it me? Is it just me? Is anybody else warm? It's just me. I'm having a hot flash. A hot flash. Listen, they're real. Amen? Men? They're real. All right, verse 19. They're contagious too. All right. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law. We got to read on. Being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ. That I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Verse 23. This is our text verse, and this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty. I so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Father, bless the message. Help me to teach. Help us to learn Your Word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Hopefully you've got a little idea about the gist of the chapter. But I want to zero in on this thought, for the gospel's sake. And I broke up the verses here. In verses 19 through 22, we read some things about Paul's, and here's the word, adaptation for the gospel's sake. Adaptation for the gospel's sake. Paul is explaining to the Corinthians his means of being a witness for Christ. And he testifies that I've got to use a different approach on different people. Not every fish bites the same lure. Sometimes you got to use different line. Sometimes you got to finesse them in. Some of them you can horse in. Not very many. Most of them you've got to make sure they're really hooked. And so that's what he's talking about there. As we look at it again, and I'll go slower and try to explain it, he says, though I be free from all men, he's not a bond slave to a person. Yet have I made myself a servant unto all. So his approach here, in a general sense, is this. When he sees new people, I'm going to be their servant. I'm going to find out what I can do to encourage them, to help them, to be a blessing to them, and maybe they'll give me their ear. Maybe they'll listen to me. If I have opportunity to help a tent maker, that's my skill. That's Paul's skill. Oh, I'll help out there. If I see somebody who's in financial need and I can make a little extra and help them, I might be able to get an open door for the gospel. I might be able to take somebody out to lunch and share the Word of God with them. Maybe I can help at a household project. Maybe there's some work around their house. But I'm their servant. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, that'll set the stage right there in your thinking. By the way, this isn't a sermon about depression. But I've discovered that when you just choose to start serving others, it has a strange way of taking care of your problems. I've discovered this. Let me make sure this is up. I've discovered that when I look to try to remove somebody else's troubles and be a blessing, God takes care of mine. I remember Jack Hiles illustrating this, and it was really neat the way he did it. And so, Samuel, can I borrow you from... Or Samuel? Caleb. See, you're getting taller and you're throwing me off now. Okay. Hi, Caleb. Okay, so Caleb was of another spirit. I just read that this morning. You're going to be happiness. Okay, so touching you... Man, I feel good just touching you. But here's the way this works. Here's the way it works. Say you're not feeling real well. Maybe you're a little down in spirit. Cast. It was a cloudy day and now you just... Or maybe you're a natural cynic. I don't know. But you got issues and you don't like it. You don't like thinking the way you're thinking. And you just feel like Eeyore a little bit. And you want to... You want to get rid of that. God says, if you bury one another's burdens, and you'll fulfill the law of Christ. And so, Jason, since you're on the end, if you'll go over, stand up over there. And I want you to give me your best discouraged face. Your best discouraged look. Okay, that's good. Okay, so here's the way this works. Here's the way it works. I'm feeling down. He's feeling down. Okay, you need to follow me. But you choose, okay, I'm going to see what I can do to help this guy. And hey, Jason, how you doing? You doing all right? You just say, not really. Okay, all right, anyways. Well, hey, I'm sorry to hear that. Hey, how about you and I go fishing Saturday? Catch some crappie? That'd be all right? I'll buy lunch. Is that all right? Okay, so, by the way, that helps me regardless anyway. So, I know it seems selfish, me inviting him, but maybe I should try to use a different illustration. That's okay, but I can't think of one right now. So that's the best we got. So I'm feeling down, you're feeling down, but the idea that, hey, we'll go fishing, and that way, we at least if we go together and we catch a whopper, we've got a witness, okay? And see, here's the way this works, though, and it only works with fishing. I'm teasing. Happiness may slip by you initially and come over here. Now, pat him on the back. Now, there we go. See, while you're telling him about, how about you let me take you fishing and take you out to eat, go ahead and pat him on the back. Happiness all of a sudden does something to this guy. But after you've introduced happiness to this guy, happiness comes back over here and says, let me introduce myself to you. Oh, wow. I feel good about this. I need to invite more people fishing. So anyways, I know that took a while to do that. You can be seated. The idea here is this, though. Paul says, I make myself a servant unto all. You, for the witnessing opportunity, but for the edification of believers, and for his own well-being, it really would affect him too. And so that would help maybe somebody who's feeling down right now. By the way, Sunday school, if you want to hear more principles on how to deal with depression, Sunday school here, 10 o'clock, just letting you know. Okay, so we've got adaptation. Let's read on here. I'm going to get through this quick. Okay, verse 20. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew. I quit going to the pork barbecue bar that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. See, Paul knew how to be a Pharisee around the Pharisees in the sense of talking their language. Following their protocols when it was a certain type of rituals. He knew how to do that. And he knew that they really didn't mean a whole lot when it comes to our relationship with God. But it meant so much to those people that he didn't want to offend them. And I can follow them and I can obey and I can be honorable around them to win them. And then we read on here, to them that are without law, as without law. And that might be the Greeks, that might be the barbarians, the heathen. Okay, and yet he says this, being not without, verse 21, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ. Well, the law of Christ is love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. See? And so it meant you... You need to be a man of your word. There's a fidelity that needs to be kept between you and God. Morality is still important. See, all of those things. It may not be important to other people, but it's important between you and God. All right. And so that's what he's saying there. And then verse 22, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. Now, what's he mean there? Did he go smoking with the smokers? Did he go drinking with the drinkers? He shoot drugs with a drug? No. But there was a condescension. As a matter of fact, it's Paul that would say on a couple of occasions, he that standeth, take heed lest he fall. In Galatians 6:1, Paul said this, if a brother be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Don't act like you made it. When you're around people who are weak, when you're around people who have fallen, when you're around people who are broken, don't look down on them. See? Be mindful of the grace of God in your own life when you go to them to help them, to encourage them. Don't jump in the quagmire with them, but also be mindful God's protected you. And so... there's the idea there. And so, we're looking at adaptation for the gospel's sake. Now, I've went catfishing with Fritz and Ethel. I've went crappie fishing or bass fishing with Ed. And bass fishing with Bob. And these fish use different type of lures. They just do. Now, there are some fish that you... crappie and bass, you can catch the same thing, and even occasional catfish, but these fish have their preferences. I know that I'm sure bass have eaten chicken liver. He was awful hungry. But ate chicken liver. Now, catfish, he'd be pushing the bass out of the way. But they're just different lures, and so the lesson here is there's a right way to adapt. We can't just all of a sudden, here's a lost person, I'm going to go through this plan with him. And I'd like to think I can. I think it's very important that everybody in the room knows how to lead someone to Christ. It's very important. And I'm going to have to go through this and we're going to have another class because I haven't done it in a while. But you need to be able to share the gospel with people. But you also need to know when to set the hook. I think that's important. Okay, let me move on now. So adaptation for the gospel's sake. In verse 24, because verse 23 is our key verse. Verse 24 says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize." What's this? This is acceleration for the gospel's sake. "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain," says Paul. That's the whole verse. So run, acceleration. Well, what's that all about? Well, here's the deal. Second isn't good enough. What's he talking about? Second isn't good enough. So run. Who's he racing against? Good question if you've asked that question. Who's he racing against? Is he racing against time? We could say he is racing against time. God has given us so much time to do His work. That would fit. That would apply. But is there an actual opponent? Well, sure there is. And once again, we go back to this. We go back to what took place at salvation. At salvation, I received a new nature. You received a new nature, correct? Am I losing you? But at salvation, did you get rid of your old nature? No. So now you've got two natures, dueling natures. There's the competition. That's why second isn't good enough. You either win or, let me just give you a couple thoughts concerning, by the way, ask Peyton Manning if second was good enough. Not so. And that's just sports. But Paul says it's not good enough. So run that you may obtain. Okay. It is a race against the will of the flesh. If you get second, then your flesh gets first. If the will of God gets second, then the will of man gets first. If the souls of others get second, then they don't get the gospel from you. So run that you may obtain. I'm going to sum all of this up, but I'll just go ahead and do some part of it up right now. You see, and this is a rebuke and to me, it's a prod to me. It is a prick to my heart that helps me get right. If I am not focused on getting the gospel to people, then what am I focused on? Does anything else really matter in eternity? Does it really matter the worldly accolades you get if you wasted your testimony and never shared the gospel with anybody? Elvis Presley claimed to be a saved man. I wonder how many people come to Christ from his testimony. Hello? Second isn't good enough. Because if we get second, we don't run that we may obtain, I'm telling you, people aren't hearing the gospel from us. That's why it's good to stay soul conscious. You may not be able to talk to everybody, carry gospel tracts. But just remember, your behavior, your attitude, all of that speaks volumes. It does. And man, you don't want to do anything to run the fish off. I don't know if Ed, John, I don't know if you guys remember this. Fritz, when you were a little kid, your dad's saying, "Hey, quiet, we're fishing." I'm like, they can hear me? They're underwater. Anyways. Okay, so letter B is acceleration for the gospel. We've got adaptation for the gospel's sake, acceleration for the gospel's sake. And letter C, moderation for the gospel's sake. Look at verse 25. "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." What's that? That word temperate is important. That word temperate has the idea of self-control. Self-restraint. athletes, professional athletes, normally if they want to excel. Okay, Tom Brady's got the craziest diet. There's a reason he's playing NFL football at the age 44, going to be 45. Regardless of what you think of him, he keeps that diet so he can play professional football. I mean, he rarely eats red meat, rarely eats sugar. Just extreme stuff that my flesh loves. Red meat and sugar. But he doesn't eat that stuff. He doesn't eat a lot of starchy stuff. Well, it seems to be working for him. That's all I can say. But so Paul says, now every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. A corruptible crown. I said a corrupt, but we an incorruptible. Paul's trying to get the message across. If you're going to have the testimony that brings people to Christ, then you're going to have to exercise some self-control in your life. Like, don't overindulge. It's easy to do, isn't it? You're going to have to learn to exercise self-control, discipline. I mean, by the way, not just with appetites, but with your tongue. With your tongue. So, temperance. Very important. As a matter of fact, 2 Timothy chapter 2 says something like this. And if any man, let me go through the Rolodex here. Hold on. Do they even use Rolodexes anymore? I mean, I had mine for years until I realized it just sits on my desk. I had all these numbers on my phone. Okay. 2 Timothy 2, I think it's verse 5, it says, it's similar to this verse. And if a man strive for the mastery, he must strive lawfully. Yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. You're reading it. That's good. Is there more to that verse? There needs to be. There's another portion. I think it's verse 6. Since you're there, what's verse 6? Okay. Since you're here. Verse 4 then. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if any man strive for the mastery, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. That's it. Now, Paul's talking about military service there and how to be an effective soldier. You got to limit the things that are on your brain. Limit the things that you allow to occupy your brain. I have found myself, it's easy to get distracted. There are distractions all around us. Especially if you carry a cell phone. I wonder what it would be like if we had a cell phone fast. Isn't it hard to believe? 20 years ago, we'd go check the voicemail. The phone was on the wall, you know. That's weird. Now we can't live without it. All right, I got to go here. So we're looking at moderation. In order for the best thing to get first, a lot of good things cannot be overly indulged. Did you hear that statement? In order for the best thing to get first, a lot of good things cannot be overly indulged. Okay. I mentioned fishing. I like to fish. Crying out loud, there's a lot of things I like to do. I'll be at the altar. Anyways, but the best thing is sharing the gospel with people. The size fish I catch has no bearing on anybody receiving Christ. no bearing at all, really. Hitting a golf ball has no bearing at all. Now, if you're with a lost person and you're looking for those little opportunities to share Christ, now there's a different... Now you got your mind right. So anyways, moderation for the gospel's sake. Verse 26, concentration for the gospel's sake. Verse 26, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. So here we see the clarity of concentration of the Apostle Paul. And he knew who he was up against. He was not wasting time and energy. And I would even say this, because the Lord Jesus said it, even in His downtime, it was used appropriately. The relaxing time. It was used to refresh. Because that's necessary. But, you know, a lot of people are flapping their wings and paddling their oars. But if you ask them, so where do you want to be 10 years from now? They don't really know. What do you really want to accomplish in life? Well, I'm just trying to get by today. Have you thought about it? I would advise this if you're a Christian. Get concerned about souls and watch God steer your ship. I'm telling you, He will steer your ship. Because it really... Think of this. All of the extracurriculars we do, and I enjoy extracurriculars, but they mean nothing when it comes to sharing the gospel and bringing someone to saving grace. There's just nothing like that. Nothing like it. I move on. So Paul knew his primary objective. Letter E on my notes, verse 27. Subjugation for the gospel's sake. I had to look up that word. I made it up. No, I didn't make it up. It's a word. Subjugation for the gospel's sake. Paul says in verse 27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So in verse 27, Paul, okay, remember, the whole idea is, this I do for the gospel's sake. From verse 1, I'm telling you why I'm an apostle. I'm telling you why I've chosen the single life. It's not. I'm telling you why I don't need your help. I'm telling you why I behave this way around certain people groups. I'm telling you my focus, it's for the gospel's sake. But he concludes in verse 27 by saying, but I keep under my body and bring it under subjection. That means I rule it. Like a slave. I make my body my slave. Literally is what he's saying. I make my body my slave. It doesn't rule me. If I let it rule me, he says, I could become a castaway. And the word castaway has the idea of being no longer approved. Set aside. So, here's the final summary point here of that, child of God. It's either discipline in our lives or defection. Defection? You mean like someone defecting from... The idea of defection means no longer useful. No longer useful. It's discipline or defection when it comes to the gospel's sake. Now it's interesting there because in that passage Paul emphasizes his personal responsibility. There is personal responsibility in our lives when it comes to Christian disciplines. It takes discipline to read that book. It does. It takes discipline. It takes discipline to take time to pray. I mean, really pray. This, oh my head, oh my heart, where's my cigarette deal, isn't going to do it. Really pray. It takes, that's discipline. I mean, it takes discipline to come to church on a Wednesday night. It does. It takes discipline to have a budget and follow it and tithe. Because how are you going to know what 10% is unless you have a budget? But the Christian life is a life of discipline. It's discipline or defection. But not only is it discipline for the moment, but it's discipline for the duration. You see, just because you might have these Christian disciplines for a week or a month, and let's say there are some people you're trying to reach with the gospel, and maybe you've been disciplined for a few months and don't seem to be making headway. That family member doesn't seem to be turning. Maybe you're wondering, is this, am I really making a difference? It's always God, but you have your part. You're a co-laborer. You got to understand that it's discipline for the duration. Until you cross the finish line, it's discipline. It's what it is. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Well, how long did he walk with God? Till God took him. Until God took him. That's the objective. Now listen, I'm not saying you and I are all going to be perfect, but I'm telling you, we ought to just buck up, Brother Bill, and decide. We don't have any Bills in the house, do we? Do we? No? Okay, well, I can say that. I can pick on Bill. And just determine, all right, if I'm going to be used of God, I've got to have some focus. And I got to have some discipline in my life. I need to be a person who knows my Bible. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I've got to know my Bible. I've got to spend time in prayer. I've got to be soul conscious. Every time somebody walks through the doors of this church that's new, my brain wonders if they're saved. Even if they're dressed up. That dear couple that was with us for lunch this past Sunday. Okay, so they've been attending for 4 months. And they attended enough services that I assumed, well, they knew the Lord. So when I asked the question, so tell me about your salvation, I really wasn't expecting him to say, I don't know if I am. Really? Well, then there's the exciting next step. And so, Moses didn't turn aside because of a bush that was burning. He turned aside because of a bush that didn't quit burning. Y'all aware of that? Why the bush burned and was not consumed. It was nothing to see a bush burn, but to see a bush burn and not be consumed. Now there's a sight to behold. I wonder, Kirk, Sean, you've known him for years. I've known him for years. You know, either one of us could have lost our testimony in the years that we were saved. And we, who knows, we could have been a hindrance. In spite of ourselves, he made a decision for the Lord. But I'm just telling you, you may not see results right now, but that's all right. That's not the idea. Exercise Christian disciplines that will help. By the way, you know, Brian preached a message on this text, I believe. Bodily exercise profiteth a little, but godliness is profitable unto how much? All things. All things. All things. Everything you can imagine. And guess what? You don't have to go to some psychologist and pay $100 to get good counsel. Or to get approved to get some drugs. The Word of God has the answers. It really does. And here's the beauty of it. Your testimony will continue to speak even after you're gone. It'll continue. Karen Harum's testimony continues to speak. I was going to say Don, Loretta. Her testimony continues to speak. Carl, his testimony continues to speak. I could go on. So, it's the gospel mission or a worldly mission. It's discipline or defection. That is the lesson. Father, bless the service. Thank you for the Word of God. May the Holy Spirit help us, Lord, in our faith. Help us to examine ourselves. Honey, I'm not going to do a musical invitation. If you all want to come use the altar, you're welcome to do that. I want to give us a little extra time to pray. Father, may you bless our prayer time. But I will do this. Maybe there's some folks here that just say, Preacher, the Lord spoke to my heart. And I feel like I need to make a decision. I just ask you to pray for me. If you lift your hand, I will pray for you if there's anyone like that. Is anyone here? God bless you. They just say, the Lord spoke to my heart, and I feel like I need to make a decision. Pray for me. Is there anyone else like that? All right. Lord, bless those that have raised their hands. Encourage them and strengthen them. We love you. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the wisdom of the Word of God to help us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.